great advisors are out there and they deserve to be paid. But what exactly is great and how much is worth it? Author and financial advisor John DeGooey is here to tell us about his new book, Stand Up to the Financial Services Industry, Protecting Yourself from Well-Intended but Oblivious Advisors. Hello there, John.
Hi, Bruce.
You are not going to win many friends with that subline there.
I'm not looking to gain new friends.
You're fully staffed on the friend front.
Yeah, I'm really hoping to save people from advisors that are sort of giving them advice that's misguided and they don't even realize it.
When you say
the investors nor the advisors,
right? When you say oblivious, what do you mean?
A paper came out in 2016 showing that advisors, beyond any reasonable doubt, are misguided. So they are misguided because they make recommendations based on past performance, even though everything says past performance, you know, can't be relied upon, might not be repeated. They run concentrated portfolios. They use high-cost products, even though there's mountains of evidence that cost is an important determinant of performance. So the advisors, while well-intended, while they're trying to help their clients reach their financial goals, are in fact doing so, which, in spite of their good intentions, while being completely unaware of or certainly not paying any attention to the evidence that what they're doing is in fact incorrect.
The cynic would say, given that you're a financial advisor, that this is not a completely objective view, that you can sort of point your finger at the terrible people and point your finger at yourself and say, I am amazing.
The thing that I would point out is, and you'll be aware, I'm sure, of Richard Thaler won the Nobel Prize a year and a half ago for his work on behavioral economics.
Yeah.
Almost a generation earlier, Jenny Kahneman won the Nobel with the work he did with Amos Tversky and shared it with his research partner Vernon Smith. There's a lot of research with regard to behavioral biases. So that's been recognized in the fairly recent past. Everyone, all of us, you, me, everyone, has biases. We all have them. The real question that it begs is, what are you doing to be militant about being self-aware about your biases, and what are you doing to take steps to make sure that you're not unwittingly giving biased advice if you're an advice giver? So, yeah, I my name's John DeGooey. I'm a financial advisor. I'm a portfolio manager. And like everyone else, I have my biases. I don't purport to not have them. But at least I am decent enough to acknowledge that they exist and to be self-aware of them and then to try to take steps to mitigate them.
Well, it sounded like the introduction to a 12-step program there, but
yeah.
In your book, you have a 3-step program. Tell us about the 3 steps or, I don't know, 3 factors or issues that you believe sure. investors should be focused on to, in sure. your words, call out their advisor.
A lot of advisors are giving advice with good intentions that's inappropriate. And the only way that you can find out for sure whether or not your advisor is one of them is to follow the 3 steps. The first is to summon the courage to do like the ad campaign. You see the ad campaign from Questrade where people are, you know, I know Janet, I just can't afford to pay for both of us. So the first thing is you actually have to have the courage to march into your advisor's office and confront your advisor with regard to the quality and specificity of the advice that you're getting. The second thing that you have to do is you have to get the actual questions to ask because you need to hold the advisor accountable. And so one of the things that the book does is it gives people specific questions to ask. I've got about 50 of them in the book. But then finally, thirdly, and perhaps most importantly, you need to be able to determine whether the answers you get are correct or not. And so there are details, again, in terms of the research. Don't take my word for it. Google is your friend. And I've set up a website, standup.today, where you can actually go to find the research papers that you can read yourself, or you can print them out and give to your advisor. So when your advisor says, well, something ridiculous like, you know, well, all that really matters, cost doesn't matter, what matters is return, you know, after costs. Well, actually, no, there's a lot of research that shows that cost does matter and that outperforming funds can't reliably be chosen in advance and the majority fail. So there's the evidence that shows it. So don't take my word for it because I've written a book or anything else. You can read articles from people that have won Nobel Prizes that show beyond any reasonable doubt that this is what's going on.
We don't have time to go through all 50, but if there were 2 or 3 of those questions that you believe Canadians should be asking their advisors, what would they be?
So I think one of the questions that you should ask advisor, I think the two things that you can ask about are past performance and cost. So the first question is, to what do you base your product recommendations on? And if the advisor said something like, well, this product has a 5-star rating or is first quartile over 5 years or 10 years, that may be factually accurate, but that's not really indicative of what you might necessarily expect going forward. So chances are your advisor is misguided if he believes that that's true. Secondarily, and similarly, what are you doing, Mr. Advisor, Ms. Advisor, to manage costs on my behalf? I understand that you have to get paid, and whatever your fee is what it is. Please tell me in writing. But beyond that, let's take that as a given. But what are you doing to manage the costs of the products that you recommend to me? And if there are other products that are available that might do the same sort of job, only cost me 0.5% or 1% a year less, why aren't you recommending them? So those are the sorts of questions that you can use to hold your advisor accountable.
What are your thoughts on robo-advisors? This is a category that's really come to prominence in the last couple of years. It wasn't around 10, 15 years ago. What's your take?
My take is that they play a good role. I think the market investors segment themselves fairly well, which is to say, if you think you can do it yourself, chances are you can. And if you can't, then chances are, if you think you can, chances are you can't. If you can't, then if you think that you can, so your situation is simple enough and you're comfortable with a robo, then you should consider using a robo. But if, and this usually comes down to a number of factors, sometimes it's complexity, sometimes it's just age and comfort with technology. But if you think that you want to deal with a human, then chances are you should deal with a human. So I think robos have a place. I applaud them. I think they're doing something useful. But they're not for everyone. And I'm not trying to suggest that human advisors are for everyone either. I think you have to be careful and know yourself.
Two of the areas in which advisors do serve a real purpose, we're going to park cost and investing strategy to the side for a second, is first, saving people from themselves. And second, the great ones really do have an ability to think holistically about a financial plan versus an investing plan. Where does that factor into your view about the advisor population writ large?
I would say that it's all over the map. There are really, really good advisors out there. There are some excellent advisors that I'm proud to be associated with and that I sort of blush because I don't think I can do as good a job as some of them. But my experience is that there are many that are rather less than good. And I'm trying to be politically correct in the way I sort of frame this. And it really is case by case. And so the point that I'm making and what the book does is it allows you to sort of use the book as a case study to test the advisor that you, the investor, are working with to see where your advisor fits on the spectrum with regard to both those things, which is the first is what I'm going to call constructive behavior modification, changing the way you behave and act and react. And then the second is the holistic integrated planning, which is different from person to person because different people have different circumstances. Some people have companies and set of trusts and do a lot of complex things, and many others just say, no, invest my RSP, invest my TFSA, we're done.
If I had the voice of some in the industry or even some advisors out there on my shoulder here, what they would probably say is that Canadians are better off to have an average investor than no advisor at all. What would you say to that notion?
I would agree to that notion, but I would respectfully say that that might be the wrong way of looking at it. There are some advisors that are so bad that they actually subtract value. And so an average advisor is frequently better than no advisor, and I tend to agree that that's probably true. But define average. If average is 50th percentile, then that might mean that as much as half the advisors are not worth what you're getting. So I think there are a lot of really, really excellent advisors out there. All I'm saying is there are also a lot of mediocre advisors out there, too. And you need to be careful to see which kind of advisor you are working with.
And find someone great.
Lots of great ones out there.
Yeah. John, thank you very much for your time. We appreciate it.
It's been a pleasure.
John DeGuey is the author of a new book called Stand Up to the Financial Services Industry, Protecting Yourself from Well-Intended but Oblivious Advisors.